Thank you, Liza and Chris.
I'm echoing. Good morning, church. I am going to read from the Gospel of Mark today for our message. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." This is our gospel. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our focus reading for today once again proves to us that the disciples who were following Jesus, their leader, their teacher, they were not always seeing eye to eye with him. A few weeks ago, Jesus shared about his upcoming suffering and death, to which we heard Peter rebuke Jesus, and then Jesus said the words, "Get behind me, Satan." Last week in our gospel reading, Jesus again talked about how someday soon he would suffer and die, to which then the disciples quickly moved on and began to argue over who among them was the greatest. Then Jesus pulls in a little child who was most likely unwelcomed in that room and said, "When you welcome the least of these, those on the fringes, you not only welcome me, but you welcome the one who sent me." And then here today, we hear the disciples complaining because they saw someone casting out a demon in Jesus' name, but this person who was doing it was not a part of their group, was not following them. And so Jesus then says, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Scholars tell us that this part of Mark's gospel was most likely written to comfort those in the early Christian community who were going through some tensions. Mark's gospel was written in about 70 AD, less than 70 years after the death of Jesus, but still, it is a time where there's a lot of tension. And the reason why there is a tension is because there was a revolt to try to overthrow the Roman government. And the ways that the Romans responded was they took the temple and they destroyed it. So the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and the early Christian community were all kind of scattered. It was very dangerous to be known as a religious person in that time. And they had a community that was very separated, divided, and went into different directions. And so this writer of Mark's gospel is most likely connecting this part in the Jesus narrative of who Jesus was to what this early Christian community was going through and helping them to address how to deal with issues as Christians with other Christians who are different than you. And apparently, their early Christian church wasn't that all united in their beliefs. They sometimes clashed over how one another was doing things. They sometimes bashed each other vocally in letter form or when they talked about each other. And to be all honest with you, the early Christian church with this fighting between other Christians, it's not all that different from what I see in our world today when it comes to political and other differences that we have with Christians. It's not that different from the world that we are living in. According to my friend John Armstrong, who is a professor in Wheaton and works for Christian Unity, he informed me this last week that at last count, globally, there are 37,000 different denominations in the world. That means 37,000 different types of Christians. And I like to point out that Christians sometimes do not behave that well, as they sometimes fight with one another and call each other names. So in our reading for today, this was probably directed at the early Christian communities and pushing them to ask, instead of pointing out who somebody else is or the things that other people are doing. It's really pushing the community to ask, who are you really? Instead of name-calling or focusing on somebody else, who is Jesus really calling you to be? When we look at the life and the love of who Jesus was and what Jesus did and what Jesus calls us, focus on that. It's probably because there was a lot of excitement this last week over Pope Francis landing here in the U.S. and beginning to speak about the caring of all creation and caring for the poor and the marginalized, that I began to look at my identity as a Christian, why we do what we do, and looking at this identity caused me to reflect on my personal call story. And I figured that since I'm still very new to this community here, that I would share with you some impactful moments that I had growing up that are probably very much a part of the way that I am and why I do ministry the way that I do it. I like to tell people that I'm a product of Vatican II. And Vatican II was a gathering in the Roman Catholic Church that happened in the 1960s, where the Catholics committed themselves to open dialogue with other types of Christians. And so we, being Lutherans, have been committed to that dialogue, and for over 50 years, we've been coming to the table with Catholics to discuss how things are going. Pre-Vatican II, before these meetings, if you walked into a Catholic church, you could probably hear a priest badmouth the Protestant faith. And the same could be said if you walked into a Lutheran congregation, they might tell you about those kind of Catholics, those other people. Vatican II called for the end of this bashing against one another and a beginning to a better relationship. And over the last 50 years, a phrase that I really like that I've heard is pretty much, the war is over. We have more in common than we do that makes us different from one another. And thankfully, that's the environment that I grew up in. So a little bit about myself. I grew up in a very small town in Northwest Ohio, in a little town called Eden, Ohio, kind of like the Garden of Eden, but spelled a different way. This is a town that's less than 1,000 people and has only one stoplight. I like to tell people that I had it worse than a pastor's kid because my dad was the principal at our school and my mom was the health commissioner of the county, which meant that if I were to decide to get myself in trouble, my parents normally found out about it before I even knew that I was caught. It's true. I grew up in a Lutheran family where I was baptized and confirmed in the Lutheran church. My mother would probably tell you that her favorite part of going to church was having me stand right next to her and sing, that she was always asking for me to sing louder and louder in church. The Lutheran church was the place that I grew up and identified with. But because our town was so small, a majority of our town was actually Catholic, which meant that all these other denominations, all these other churches were very small congregations. I would describe my life as pretty normal, not too many major things happening. My faith life seemed very sturdy until I about reached my teen years. When I turned 16, some life events happened that kind of made me question my faith a little bit. 10 days before Christmas, my sophomore year, I had a good friend, Tyler, who I was classmates with, die in a car accident right before Christmas. Then, less than 24 hours later, my weightlifting partner for football died in a completely separate accident at work. So my small town watched within 24 hours a 16 and 17-year-old die. And I had a lot of questions. As we gathered for Christmas services a couple days later, I remember hearing the traditional Christmas tunes, thinking, what am I doing here, and what's the point of all of this? What's the point of celebrating the new birth of Jesus when we are living in the midst of death and sadness in our community? I had a lot of questions. Over the next 6 months, I found myself continuing to ask these faith questions. What is the point? My mom would force me to go to church. My parents would force me to sing, and I didn't really want to anymore. And I was really just bothered and didn't have any motivation at that point in time. It's also important to share that because of the size of our church, that meant that our youth group was very small. So my sister, who's 2 years older than me, was the only other person, along with maybe five other people, in our youth group. So I didn't really have the support that I really needed. My mom, knowing this, that I needed something else, went to her friend who led the Catholic youth group. She was a nurse with my mom. And they were struggling themselves because my friend Tyler, who had died, was Catholic. And so they had a hole in their youth group. And so they decided to invite me to a gathering that they were having, to keep it simple, as a first step. Now, I need to be very honest with you all. I accepted this offer to go to their youth group based off of the fact that there were some really cute girls in the Catholic youth group. I had no interest in building up my faith life, but it was enough to get me to go. And they had this thing that in the youth group, before you do the social outing, we went to Mass together. And it was there in my first Mass that I heard and saw things that were different, but very much the same. I saw structure in the liturgy. I heard words that were very familiar and music that was very familiar. It was different, but it was the same. And on our way home that night after the social event, see, I can't even tell you what the social event was. I was so much in awe from what I saw in Mass that day that instead of talking to the girls in the back of the bus, I could be found in the front of the bus with the leaders asking them questions about Catholicism and the differences between the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church. And it's there that I heard about Vatican II and their commitment to dialogue with people that were others. Over the next 2 years, my Catholic leaders and the priest there, Father Fred, answered all of my questions and welcomed me with open arms. They helped spark my faith again in a way that I hadn't had before. They reminded me that I was loved and welcomed me no matter what. By the time I was a senior in high school, this Lutheran was the most active member of the Catholic youth group. It was there that I was asking some major questions about my future. Was I called to be a priest, or was I called to do something else in my Lutheran faith? And my Catholic friends asked me a fun question. They said, "Brian, do you want to marry?" "Yes, I do." And it's then that they told me something important. They said, "God doesn't care if you are Catholic or Lutheran. It's not how you identify yourself. It is not how others identify you. God has already done the naming and claiming. That I was a child of God, and that I would be loved no matter what." It is through those conversations that I realized that I always was loved and cared for through all that was happening in my life over those past couple years. It is important for me to realize that I was not baptized. It was not that I was baptized, but that I am baptized. And that we live in this promise as Christians, and we're there for one another. I think there are moments in our lives where we work very hard to figure out our identity and make ourselves at a certain status. We work very hard and work hard to rise up to different positions and places in our places of work. We study and study and study to have a higher GPA and be the top of our class. We work hard and save a lot of money so we can have beautiful and large homes. But when we value ourselves like this, we will always find someone else who is better, smarter, has more money, is quicker than us. And before long, we are finding ourselves comparing ourselves to one another and seeing each other as competitors. And so we define ourselves and others by the way that our world values us. When Jesus sees this happening to his disciples, he responds by inviting them not to be the greatest, but to love all, the last and the least, and make sure that God's love is available to all. Where the weak and the vulnerable are honored, by God, and glory comes not through what you are doing, but through what God is doing through you, child of God. Today, Jesus shares with us that mercy and love are the vehicles through which we find our identity. That as children of God, one of the greatest things we can do is serve one another, love one another, and show compassion to one another, the other. There will always be enough opportunities for us to love outside of our walls. There will be no lack of occasion for us to love our neighbors. And this is exactly what I discovered through my conversations with my Catholic brothers and sisters, as they reminded me that it's not how I define myself, but how God has already named me and claimed me a child of God, that was all that matters. Dear people of God, this passage from Mark's gospel is about identity. Not others' identity, but our own through what we discover through God's love in each of our lives. As we gather here, as we go through the ups and downs of life, we hear these words of love that God has named us and claimed us and loved us and calls us to share that love with others. There's nothing that we can do to lose this identity. We are already named and claimed. Baptism not only reminds us of who we are, but whose we are, loved and sent by God to share that love with others. And so may you this week and always in your life be reminded of your baptism, that you, child of God, are named and loved, that we can share this with all people, that it's not about what others are doing, it's about what God is doing through us. And may you find ways to act in ways of love, to show justice and mercy and compassion to all people. This is the identity of the church. This is the identity that we find in our baptism. And this is our identity as the one body of Christ. That you, child of God, can do awesome things when you share that love with others. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, give us the grace and love to serve all people, which calls us to end divisions that happen between us. Take away all hatred and prejudice and whatever else may hinder us from being one in you. As you invite and call us in as loved children of God, remind us that it is you who names us and values us, not our world. Help us to love one another and walk in your light. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all of God's people say, Amen.